Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
.335 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is, oh, it's Friday Eve. Yes. Oh, I almost said the dreaded T word. I'm sorry. No, it is Friday Eve. Thanks very much to Charles Pyle for taking some of the Glenn Youngkin interview and sharing it with you. It's important stuff. And I just want to pause for a moment before I move on to my dear friend Brian Maloney and pay tribute. I know it sounds a little weird, but I have to. I really do. Charles has elevated the game back in that newsroom 100% in 3 weeks. As simple as that, clear as that, we are so thankful. Or, well, I don't know what to say. I am so thankful that he's in place now, doing great stuff. Gary Hess continues to do great stuff. Sarah Huffman is absolutely contributing some great pieces. We got a solid operation right now, which we haven't had in a long time. I mean, it's been, well, I'll just say it. I'll just say it because I've been here a long time. It's 12 years. We haven't had it in years. So it is great, great, great to hear that. Okay, enough of that. Let me bring in somebody else who I actually am quite fond of. He's a great guy in terms of offering analysis and insight when it comes to political issues. But he is also, I remind you, truly one of the best talk radio guys I have ever heard, my friend Brian Maloney. Brian, thank you for being here.
Hey, great to be back.
It's good to hear you. Now let's start with the strike. This ought to be a huge issue. Then we're going to move on to the hurricane, which ought to be a big issue. But what are you sensing here? Because I don't feel that either Joe Biden or Kamala Harris is paying any sort of a price in the media for any of those two events.
No, I mean, that's what's incredible. I mean, what it shows is the power, the sheer power that the media still has to manipulate quite a few minds, maybe not all of us, but enough of us to be able to successfully provide cover for these guys, because this, what's going on right now, is absolutely horrendous. A lot of people are calling the hurricane aftermath, you know, basically a second Maui. I saw that a lot today, and I think that's actually a very apt comparison. And the strike, I think, you know, people just, it's bubbling under the surface. People are starting to worry. I mean, you know, you're hearing about Costco shelves being stripped bare and that kind of thing. So, I mean, but yeah, I mean, imagine if this were a Republican in the Oval Office. If we had a president at all, of course.
Yeah.
Nobody can figure out what's going on there. But if we had that, you'd never hear the end of this strike and how it was that person's fault.
That's right. You and I remember President George W. Bush flying over the flood scene. Oh, my God, he's a terrible human being. We were told that George W. Bush, if I remember, they said he was trying to kill black people in New Orleans with Katrina, right? I'm not misremembering that.
They actually said he caused Hurricane Katrina.
That's right. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. And nothing. It's absolute crickets now, man.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, Jeff, and the bottom line is, then you have FEMA coming in, right, and telling people, well, you know, you can't have volunteer rescuers, that we're going to arrest them. So the guy with the helicopter who's been ferrying people out of the flooded zones, you know, on his own dime, right, if you do it again, we'll arrest you.
Yeah.
Anybody trying to help is turned back, threatened with arrest. That's what they did in Maui. Why do they want people to suffer?
It's a great question. Pete Buttigieg earlier today says no private drones. Now this one I'm going to call, Brian, and you can agree with me or not, but those private drones have cameras, and those cameras can show everybody what the devastation is, and that devastation lies right at the feet of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and that's why Pete Buttigieg says no private drones.
Well, yeah, they don't want anybody to see it, but they also don't want any help in there. And as you, if you've ever been through the middle of a natural disaster, you know that FEMA is your worst enemy. They bring trouble and they bring no relief. And that's exactly what they've been doing for many, many years. So you have that. And if you've lost your home, you can't book a hotel room within, you know, 10, 20, 30 miles or more because FEMA booked them all. They booked entire hotels at a time. So there's nowhere to go. There's no help. And if anyone tries to help you, they're threatened with arrest. Oh, and by the way, here's $750, you know, $750 for your troubles. That's right. But, you know, Zelensky gets billions more, yeah. Billions.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Zelensky leaves here with $8 billion. You have Mayorkas today telling us, oh, we don't have any money. FEMA has no money because, well, Vice President Harris and the gang, they decided to spend it all on services for illegal aliens. I mean, this is just, it's insanity, Brian, and I keep waiting for the legacy news media to utter even a peep, and it is dead flipping silence.
Well, and, you know, the interesting thing about this is I saw some people today calling it another land grab like Maui, and maybe it is. I mean, Asheville had been a really hot real estate market, as I'm sure, you'd heard all about in recent years. People were flocking there from all over the country. You know, they were even getting the dreaded Californians in there, which is, you know, very, very sad. And yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, when you're there, you know.
That's right.
So that's where we're at. And the question is this, so if we've wiped out these towns, and I'm not saying they did that on purpose, I'm just saying they're not helping. You know, what is the election impact? You know, are they hoping that these people don't vote? Because a lot of these towns were red, Asheville's mm-hmm. blue, but mm-hmm. I mean, what happens there, right? I mean, North Carolina, the polls are almost dead even.
Right. Right.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Now, you know, Brian, here's one of the things that I've got to ask you. Where the very fact that you and I are even asking that question, does that not bother you a little bit that we have to ask that question?
Well, I think it is. I think it's very, very disturbing. And, you know, as we know, they will resort to any dirty trick in the last month. I'm not saying they caused this storm, but what I'm saying is they know how to manipulate the results, and that's you know, the aftermath. And when there's an election a month away, you have to watch them like a hawk, because you know they're up to no good. You know, if their lips are moving, they're lying. And they're up to, they're not there to help anybody ever. And I think we've learned that about Washington through enough of these that, I mean, are people of Maui, they ever come out, you know, okay on the other end of this? No. They're still sitting there in ruins with 1,000 people missing, and that never improved.
That's right. Brian Maloney is joining us. Brian, let me ask you, obviously we're all laser beam focused on the election that is coming up. Your sense of the J.D. Vance, Tim Walz debate the other night?
Well, I think it was really, really interesting because for a bunch of reasons. But number one, I think J.D. Vance did what he needed to do, and that is to completely shoot down the fake narrative that had been built around him by Democrats, which is that he's some kind of weirdo who does weird things and sick things that they had maliciously attributed to him that were made up, that were just completely fabricated. And just to show, hey, I'm a regular guy who's worked my tail off from nothing to get to where I am, and I got a lot of great ideas. And it was a lot of, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that was really, really important for him to convey in this. On the other hand, what you saw was a guy who did this kind of aw shucks routine. You know, I'm just a regular guy. You know, and I'm a knucklehead. I can be a knucklehead. You know, and like, okay, great, you're a knucklehead. Well, what happens if you become president and you're a knucklehead who makes up tall tales? So the thing was, he did try to argue substantive points with Vance and try to come across as some kind of moderate. He's an extremist.
Yes, he
does come across as a decent guy, but the facial expressions were just weird. The funny looks on his face, and I just think it came from a lack of preparation. You know, if you work with candidates, one thing you do is you put them in front of cameras, and you have, you know, you do practice runs, and then you play back. And, you know, we all dread seeing our video played back to us.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could have kind of pointed to some of that and said, you know, you're making some bug eyes here and some funny looks there. And then he looks sad the rest of the time, which I don't understand why. He just always looks sad. I don't know if that's just, I called it resting sad face, but I don't know, you know. I don't know what that was there. So he came across as probably a decent guy that you would like, but not ready. You know, and the comparisons to Chris Farley, the late comedian, you know, I mean, very, very, except that Chris Farley was a hysterical comedian. And then this isn't funny because, as you know, our future's at stake.
I don't know. I thought looking at Walls, I did have that sense that at any moment he could share with us that he lives in a van down by the river. And,
absolutely.
Right? He would. Hey, was the Jack Smith 167-page filing, was that the big October surprise, do you think?
Well, if it was their big surprise, I hope they realize how disappointing that is, because that is just being seen clearly immediately as for what it is, and that is a tactic to manipulate the election 1 month out. I think anybody can see through that. And now it's abundantly clear, if it wasn't a million times before, that a character like Jack Smith is only in this game to score political points, and there's no legal basis for anything that he's doing. So I don't think this moves the needle.
No.
I really feel like the true October surprise is something else.
Okay.
And, you know, I think it was Hillary that was alluding to some kind of surprise coming, and I'm sure they've got something. I think the next month will be a roller coaster where we are going to be, you know, going up and down every single day. We're going to be just, I feel like people are approaching this election day with dread. The whole country is. I think it's just dread. I think we dread elections now because they're miserable experiences, and it's just something to get past and hope we stay in one piece. That's where we're at now. It's sad.
No, it is very sad. I also want to share with you, Brian, I read that the 167 pages, and I felt sad after that because I thought, well, if this what you guys were banking on, I'd say you laid an egg. All it says is it was a circus at the beginning. Mr. Smith is still the ringmaster. I don't think it changes a single solitary vote. Everybody who hated Trump before that, if they even bother to read it, nobody reads. We don't read 167 characters, let alone 167 pages now.
Well, right. So,
right?
Exactly, Jeff. We consistently have 5-7% of the vote that say they are still undecided. They are not reading Jack Smith's 167-page report to decide how they're going to vote. They're going to the supermarket to see if they can still afford eggs, right, and milk,
that's right,
and bread.
That's right.
That, you know, and that's what that's about. So, you know, and if they can afford those things, they'll take that into consideration in their vote. But they are not reading Jack Smith's report. You know, this is why the people in Washington, they think that everything revolves around their little thing that they've got going there, and out in the real world, it's about survival. You know, it's about was I able to pay my bills this month? Can I pay them next month? That's where we're at. Not some report. You know, two different worlds we're living in here.
It is. It is. One is us on planet Earth. The other one's a bizarro world. But anyway, Brian, do me a favor. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media, please.
Yeah, sure. As usual, I would love to have your listeners join me at facebook.com/mediaequalizer. Facebook.com/mediaequalizer. One word, media equalizer.
Nobody better. Thank you, my friend. That is Brian Maloney. He is the media equalizer now. He's been the media equalizer for years. You need to be following Brian again. Over on Facebook, look for Media Equalizer. You are going to love. I mean this. I've been a friend with Brian for a couple of decades now, and I've been a fan of his work even longer than that. But on Facebook, look for Media Equalizer, and you will not be disappointed. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Ralava?
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.